What's up? This is Ranting with Randy. I'm Randy, and this is a podcast about anything and everything that can drive a sane person stark raving mad. It could be about sports, weather, music. It could be about the bus, the train, the crackheads in Harlem. It could be about single line checkouts, escalators, umbrellas. There's a ton of shit. I have 70 episodes for you to listen to. Pick your poison. And however, today, with all the stuff that's going on, it's not normally a podcast day, a podcast live from Central Park kind of day, because it's a run day, it's Wednesday, and I normally don't get a chance to stop and talk to Lincoln, who has been gone for the last 7 years on a work-related hiatus in the deserts of the Middle East. It just so the run gods, who were actually quite cruel to me today and gave me a fucking side stitch 5 minutes into my run, so I was barely running, because, you know, why should it ever not be gut-wrenchingly miserable and painful in some regard? One day, I just hope to aspire to run 4 miles under or around 40 minutes with no pain and not feeling like I want to fall flat on my fucking face when I finish. That being said, Lincoln was also finishing his run, so somehow we timed our runs perfectly without planning it, because that's just how the podcast gods work. And also, there's so much shit going on. He's been gone for so long. We haven't been able to shoot the shit and kick around anything that's been happening. So I've been going out of my mind, because I don't have anybody else up at the hill to really bounce it off of. We talk about stuff in politics, but we don't get into it like I get into it with Lincoln, because Lincoln is, well, smarter about all this shit than a lot of the other people up there. Not to say that they're not smart, but that's not their bag. This is Lincoln's bag. This is what he does. So here I go on another tangent. And speaking of tangents, you want to talk about podcasters that go on these ridiculously long tangents, but they're funny as fuck, and they somehow always manage to tie it in. Listen to My Favorite Murder. Those chicks go off. Every other sentence is tangential and takes you on some other hilarious trip through their podcast, where you eventually at some point do get to the story of the murder, but you bounce around. I thought I went off on a million tangents. I got nothing on these two. So if you think I'm tangential, take a minute and go listen to My Favorite Murder. And the stories are pretty good. And the murders that they talk about are interesting. And I have to tell you, I was also very much into true crime and still am very much into true crime, way before there were even the internet, and I was going to the library and reading every book by Anne Rule that was ever written, and reading all those alphabet murder books. Those aren't really true crime, but they're fiction, but I digress. I've read a lot. I've read every Anne Rule book. I've watched every documentary on every true life serial killer, even the one that they released, Patton Oswalt's late wife, Michelle McNamara, on the Golden State Killer, which is fascinating. But anyway, back to see where I'm going? Back to politics with Lincoln. Excuse me, I'm choking. I'm talking so much I can't even catch my breath. That being said, we finished our run and we said, hey, okay, let's do our cool down and let's walk and talk. Cool down. We were dying. We were just trying to find a way to catch our breath so we could get the podcast started. Let's cool down, walk around, and we'll try to sum up some of the crazy shit that is going on right now, because even right now, even today, even this morning, before I even had a chance to upload the podcast, all this news about Paul Ryan breaks, about him not running for the House again, which is great, because you're just a miserable, spineless, gutless sack of a human being who wants to do nothing other than gut Medicaid and kill poor people in need. So go fuck yourself and don't let the door split, you know, hit you where the good Lord split you, as they say. So Paul Ryan is out. He's not coming back for another term. They also know that they pretty much got everything out of Trump that they're going to get. They got that stupid, horrendous GOP tax scam bill bullshit passed. And he, you know, pats himself on the back, you know, while nobody is seeing a fucking thing in their paycheck, and all of his lobbyists and like people like Bob Corker, who got these humongous kickbacks, are laughing all the way to the fucking bank. So screw Paul Ryan, c'est la vie, good riddance, and all that shit. And we didn't even really get to scratch the surface on that, because Lincoln really wanted to get into impeachment. There's so much to talk about. There's Stormy Daniels and Michael Avenatti, which led to the, you know, Michael Cohen raid, which led to this insane, which ties into the Mueller case, because Mueller punted that over to the Southern District of New York, where all of these Republicans, Trump is like, the Democrats are after me. It's a deep state conspiracy. Motherfucker, these are all Republicans that went and with a search warrant from a federal fucking judge to not raid, that's a fucking bug spray. They went to execute a search warrant on your personal thug, bully, fixer, moron Michael Cohen. So we didn't even really get to talk about that. We didn't get to talk about where's Ivanka hiding. You have not seen Jared Kushner or heard his name mentioned on the news. You haven't really seen Ivanka. I think they're hiding in Scott Pruitt's fucking soundproof phone booth in his bulletproof office surrounded by like 800 unnecessary security guys. This guy is like running his own. You want to talk about a deep fucking state. This guy, not only is he destroying the fucking environment and rolling everything back, he's absolutely gutting all the taxpayer money that goes into the EPA because he's using it for soundproof phone booths and fucking security guys and trips and family vacations and security to follow him on those occasions. That's a whole nother story. We didn't even get into that. We also didn't, where's Melania at? We haven't even gotten into that. But there's so much, it is like peak clusterfuckery happening right now. Rachel Maddow last night drops this bombshell of Dana Buente's handwritten notes that back up what Jim Comey said about Trump wanting loyalty and all that he can't work in this type of situation and that there's a big cloud hanging over everything. And I was like, oh my God. And Twitter was blowing up and shit was going crazy. And so basically I was like, okay, Lincoln, you're back. You know, everybody wants to hear from you. I could go on and on. Pick your poison, basically, I said to him. What is it that you want to talk about? Because there are so many. Dude, Maddow didn't even turn to her board of Trump departures to put Bossert on because Bolton comes in, and on his second day of work, all of a sudden people are leaving the National Security Committee. And now these guys are gone. But Maddow's board is so fucking big that they probably need a billboard in Times Square to keep all of the names on it large enough so that people can see it. I mean, right now it's barely legible. There's so many names on it. She didn't even have time. There was so much breaking news that she did not even have the time to talk about all the people that were the people that were leaving. And she just went straight into the Dana Buente notes, the Michael Cohen raid. It was just one breaking piece of news from a show to another. Ari Melber kicked it to, you know, I can't watch Chris Hayes because Hardball, I refuse to watch him after he suffered absolutely zero consequences for his Hillary rape joke. I mean, that flew so far under the radar, over the radar, under the table, out the back door. I can't watch Chris Matthews anymore, so I flip over to CNN, and I think that's the time that Erin Burnett is on, and that's okay because I really like Julia Kayyem. And it's interesting that all of these different shows have different groups of people, all these pundits and commentators, that it would be so great if they were on just like one network and one show. Like, pick your favorite commentators and put them all in one room. Like Rachel Maddow, Joanne Reed, Nicole Wallace, then you would Anna Navarro, Julia Kayyem, Malcolm Nance. I mean, the list goes on and on of all these great people that, you know, Steve Schmidt, that you would love to just hear them bounce shit off of each other. But you gotta flip networks for that sometimes, and it's also okay because I also can't stand Chuck Todd and Meet the Press, and that could be the most depressing show, the most depressing news show on television right now, Chuck Todd and Meet the Press. And I don't even want to get into, like, you know, Trump's bullying names and, like, you know, sleepy-eyed Todd or whatever. The guy seems just absolutely so fucking uninterested, and like he would rather be any other place other than where he's at, and he just took Tim Russert's show and flushed it down the fucking toilet. But there, here, see, here I go again, and I digress. But I'm gonna let Lincoln come in, and we talk. I think Lincoln focused on our conversation about the whole impeachment process. And personally, for whatever it's fucking worth, I don't think. Look, whether he's impeached, if Trump's impeached, the problem is Pence. The problem is how do we get the fuck rid of every fucking body? Like, you want to talk about draining the swamp. Now it's the plantation White House. Now we got to get rid of all these Nazi, racist, white supremacist motherfuckers from Trump to Pence. Paul Ryan is out. Scott Pruitt. Betsy DeVos and her mercenary fucking brother. They all have to go. How the fuck? If Trump goes, they all have to go. So hopefully, I don't know. Maybe they all get arrested. I don't know where this Mueller thing is going. I still have faith in Mueller. I'm really hoping that Mueller takes the whole entire plantation White House down to the ground. Because there's no saving it as long as any of these racist motherfuckers are around. That being said, Lincoln, as usual, raises many salient points about the whole impeachment versus indictment I hope he goes out in handcuffs. I hope they come and knock on the door. You want to talk about a raid, motherfucker? I hope they come with the handcuffs and knock on the front door of the motherfucking White House and put your tiny little hands in a pair of tiny little handcuffs and drag your old insane ass out the fucking door. That's what I hope. But in the meantime, here's Lincoln, and here's our live podcast after a four-mile run at 7 o'clock this morning from Central Park. So all of the natural sound is there. The dogs are there. The people walking past us are there. And probably the wind is there. I don't know. We do the best we can with what we have. And I'll be back at the tail end to wrap it up, as always, because otherwise it would just end and that would be fucking stupid. So here's Lincoln and here's our podcast from this morning. Welcome back, sans the Russian winter bathrobe. Gasping for air after a four-mile run.
I didn't make 4 miles.
It's all right. You still made it. That's what counts. Don't sell yourself short.
3.3.
We are going to attempt to podcast live while gasping for air because there's just too much shit to talk about. Lincoln, the...
Yeah, it's 3.2 miles.
Russian...
make me run another 8 tenths of a mile.
Listen, but you have no Russian winter bathrobe. The sun's up. It's going to be 52 degrees.
I should run in my Russian
and it's Armageddon.
Oh, God. I know. Anyway, clean extra. I need a mask.
Use your sleeve. Use your hand. Snot rocket it.
It's
you can snot rocket while you run. It's acceptable. Okay. Fuck this bullshit.
Most importantly, ISIS's leg seems to be healthy.
The dog is good. ISIS is a dog. Okay. Where the fuck do we even start? Like, and you've been gone for like 6 months traveling around. You think you can just like up and leave the podcast people hanging? And by people, I mean Aaron.
Right.
And okay. Where do we start? The constitutional crisis? The people leaving, the guy that just left, Bossert leaving, and that other guy leaving, Bolton coming in, Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen's raid. Pick your poison.
Wow. A lot here.
Are we doomed for an apocalypse?
I want to talk about something, about impeachment for a moment.
Okay.
So, David Axelrod, who, you know, is a longtime political consultant, who famously was the strategist who helped elect Barack Obama in 2008, and then went to the White House and now runs this Institute of Politics at the University of Chicago. And is a very smart guy, obviously, and has a podcast and he's on CNN a lot. He has a bit of a media presence. And he's made a couple of tweets about impeachment that really struck me. One of the things he said is that if you are concerned about Republicans and Trump destroying our institutions, then by supporting impeachment, you're also weakening those institutions. And I want to just reflect on that for a minute, not because it's a wise insight. It isn't.
Okay.
But it's an insight that reflects, I mean, if it's coming from David Axelrod, it reflects the mainstream of kind of liberal democratic thought, right? This is a guy who doesn't, it's not going to stray too far from that. It's very much part of the insider. And I was reminded of the time when I was maybe 19 years old.
Okay.
Of 1988, so 20 years old. And I was working on a roof in the kind of southern part of San Francisco as a roofer.
Okay.
And as we were working on the roof, the building kind of diagonally across the street, these are small, you know, 1, 2, 3-story homes, buildings, burst into flames.
Oh.
And someone, you know, this is before...
Is that a common occurrence?
No, or? Very unusual.
Okay.
And someone called the... we ran downstairs, down off the roof to see what was going on, and also just, I don't know, in case our building caught on fire.
Okay.
And, so, you know, this is before cell phones, so we kind of frantically start banging on people's door, you know, call 911, call the fire department. Somebody does that, and this building, these flames are pouring out. And someone says there's somebody inside there, right? Inside the building, the house. But the fire department hadn't arrived yet, so the foreman from our roofing crew takes his shovel or spade, whatever it was that we were using to take the tar off the roof. And which is what you do in a fire, you break the window so that the building doesn't explode and the air
goes out. Right.
And he was rather heroically preparing to go in. It is important here that he's Latino because as he was preparing to break the window, a white guy said, "Hey, don't break the window," right?
Morning, Heather.
Hi. Now, sounds like another New York story.
San Francisco story.
Close enough.
Says, "Hey, don't break the window," right?
Okay.
Now, the guy kind of looked at him, but he began to break the window anyway because he knew it was the right thing to do if somebody was in fact inside. Firemen showed up. As soon as the firemen get there, someone said, "There's someone inside, there's someone inside." The firemen rush the building. They all break the window.
Okay.
And proceed to go in through the window. Now, as it turned out, there was nobody inside.
Oh, my God.
And as it turned, therefore, nobody was hurt, mercifully.
Okay.
And the fire department then very quickly, you know, like, efficiently put out the fire.
Okay.
Everything was, I mean, okay as it can be when one's house burns down, but nobody was hurt. The firemen
did
their job.
That's the important thing.
And they went home. And we looked at each other for a while, and they went back to the roof, right? But The reason I say that is that right now the House is on fire.
Okay.
And impeachment is burning, is breaking the window down. Breaking the window. So
okay.
To say don't impeach because you'll weaken institutions is nonsensical. But it is an argument that is getting traction. And it is getting traction because Republicans are using it. Because their best argument against impeachment is not you shouldn't impeach on the subject matter.
Okay.
On the actual evidence. You shouldn't impeach because it'd somehow be bad for America.
Can I just interject that you did hear that Devin Nunes was talking about impeachment, but of Christopher Wray of the FBI, which is completely asinine.
This is very much what will happen, right? Because
how he still even has a job is beyond me, but go ahead.
But the point is this. My point is this, is that of course Donald Trump should be impeached. If the Congress of the United States understood its role in the checks and balance and still decided to honor its constitutionally mandated role, he would never have been seated because the emoluments clause, his conflicts
Correct.
Of interest are so obvious, the connections to Russia are so, before he became a president, were so murky at that point that you wouldn't have seated him, but they haven't. So the Constitution, whenever someone talks about we're moving towards a constitutional crisis, that's their way of saying, you know, I'm kind of afraid that a Democrat might get in the White House. Because really, we are deep in a constitutional crisis.
We're
in a constitutional crisis, frankly, from the time Trump was seated, but I would argue,
from the time he came down the escalator?
Well, just about. Yeah, I mean, he pushes into
I
one.
Mean...
But I want to say this. So on the principle, on the evidence, I am for impeachment. I do not think this country will move. I think this country to reverse the damage that's been done, this guy can no longer be in office. However, I also don't want to go too far the other direction because I don't think impeachment will happen. So to hold it out as, you know, should a member of the House of Representatives on the Democratic side say they will support impeachment? Well, I think it depends on the race and on the district and on the candidate, but you certainly should be open to it. And if you're not open to it, by open to it, I mean very open to it, you're not really doing your constitutional duty. So that's my overview.
I'm hoping for an arrest. Impeachment would be nice, but I think everybody has to go. The corruption just has seeped.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is
so far down.
That's a very good point.
Oh, and ding.
No, that's a very good point because it is because in order for the impeachment to happen, you would need essentially 60 Democratic seats in the Senate. The likelihood of that happening is very, very slim because. But if it does happen, right, it's not going to start with Trump. It's going to end with Trump.
Right.
Just like with Nixon, right, where it didn't start with Nixon. First, Spiro Agnew resigned. And that's really significant because the guy who became vice president at that point, Gerald Ford, was really the candidate of Congress, not of Nixon. He was kind of foisted upon Nixon by Congress, right? He wasn't some Nixon loyalist. And once you had a person at that time who was kind of a moderate Republican mainstream guy and not a Nixon loyalist, then the gloves came off and there was none of the Republicans and Democrats. No one had anything
to do with it. At some point, the line is going to break, though, for every individual Republican,
but
which hasn't broken
like
yet.
And it's not going to take Pence out or take Trump out and everyone else is going to stay in there,
and
right?
And Scott Pruitt has a phone booth to hide in that no one will be able to find him in.
Bulletproof phone booth to cower in when the...
But it's okay. So I get your impeachment point. I would any way to get him out. I think that the guy is completely.
Right.
I mean, now that it's amazing that the New York Times article that was like, now that Hope Hicks isn't around, right, that she was the one
right.
that prevented all of this insanity
right.
from leaking out.
I mean, it is. You know, the problem here is Trump, right? I mean, we have to kind of begin and end with that, right? We have a mentally unstable, authoritarian white supremacist in the White House.
Right.
Not good for America, right? It's not good for the world. I also heard, you know, Nikki Haley, who is the U.S. ambassador
right.
to the United Nations, who is an impressive person in a lot of ways, but she gave just this morning, she was talking on the radio, and she was making very strong words for Putin regarding his support or his actions in Syria.
And I think Trump's in such a rage and focused on everything else that he doesn't even hear what she's doing right now.
No, that's right. But so 2 points on that. One,
But does it matter?
We've always had this question of the United States' moral authority in the world, but now it is a joke.
Right.
Stop. So it doesn't matter what Nikki Haley says at the UN.
Agreed.
No. And secondly, I'm very interested if Trump does anything about Putin and Assad. And notice how we're not talking about Syria anymore. Today we're talking about Michael Cohen's law building,
right.
house and apartment, hotel room, and all of that, which are important issues. But what is Putin? What is Russia? What is Trump going to do about what Putin did in Syria? I wouldn't be surprised if the answer is nothing.
Right.
Because you're talking about.
Well, he's blustery. It's the same thing he did when he
right.
you know shot those couple of Tomahawk missiles,
no,
blew up
anything,
an airport,
right.
which was
and
tied to
way,
no
I'm
policy.
Really tired of right wing apologists saying, "Look, Trump is his connections to Russia are weird, but his actions are tough." That's a load of crap. Those 60 diplomats have returned, or you know they've been
yeah.
replaced. He's done nothing tough on Russia. So.
Okay, well, we can agree. Okay, so let's agree on that. I totally feel you on the whole impeachment thing. But and the whole Michael Cohen. Now the whole
witch hunt, attorney-client privilege is dead. They broke into my lawyer's office. They didn't break in.
Well, you know, I mean, the attorney-client privilege, someone has been described, I think, I never went to law school. Maybe it was
even I had to Google crime fraud exemption.
But the kind of the aphorism that they tell you in first year law school is if you are a person who hires an attorney and you say to your attorney, listen, I killed somebody.
Right.
That is protected by attorney-client privileges. But if you say, I killed somebody, help me bury the body.
Right.
And the attorney buries the body, helps you, he's guilty.
Right.
And that's what we're not literally killing people here, but that is what we're talking about here. By the way, as I understand it, Mueller turned this over to the U.S.
correct.
Attorney in New York.
Who, correct.
Who, not for nothing, is a Trump appointee.
Also correct.
And he did that because that's the legal requirement. When you're doing an investigation, you find something that's illegal, you're not supposed to just say, oh, I'm going to ignore it.
Right, he worked for Rudy Giuliani's law firm.
Ridiculous.
No,
what Mueller did was illegally required.
Correct.
So you then turn it over to the relevant legal kind of prosecutor.
Mueller is no joke. I watched the documentary.
Who is this guy in New York State, in New York, Southern District of New York, who could have done nothing.
Right, but you know what they said? They did say what was interesting, I caught this morning, just as I was walking out the door, was that that guy, the head of the head attorney here, recused himself from this particular case because he is the big, he's like the maximum Trump donor.
That's also significant for a number of reasons. First,
didn't want the blowback.
But also because now he's worried, right? He knows that Trump is vulnerable. He knows that this is going to last forever.
Yeah, good point.
Right?
Good point.
He knows that, what does Trump do with people who recuse? He doesn't like people who recuse them, right? Read see Jeff Sessions, right?
Yeah.
But
the Keebler elf is in trouble.
Right, exactly. The kind of Confederate Keebler elf is in trouble. But he knows, he sees that, hey, this isn't going to last forever. I have a reputation here. You know, I can say I got out at the right time. The other thing is, I don't know much about...
Everyone is working with the feds now. That's the bottom line.
And if you're Michael Cohen, the screws are getting tighter here because the first response of Trump is this kind of blowhard bullshit.
But all right, before you go any further, you're the over-under. Does Michael Cohen take the bullet for Trump and go down and go to jail and lose his license? Or does he sing like a fucking canary and clear himself? Because somebody said they think Michael Cohen has files. Like, they have that he has a secret box of files. Like, in case of emergency, okay, open this box.
I don't know much of Michael Cohen.
He's a fucking dirtbag.
Well, that's evident. But
yeah.
But
it's fine.
But the thing is this. If he's
expert
smart,
opinion.
He sings like a canary.
Right.
If he's dumb, he believes Trump will be loyal to him. Trump is not loyal to anybody besides maybe
correct.
Ivanka, right?
Ugh.
So,
go ahead.
So therefore, Trump would throw Michael Cohen under the bus like he has with other people, right?
100%.
And he begins saying, well, I never really supported them. They never really did this. It doesn't matter. Let me ask you this. Let's say that you could magically look into Michael Cohen's files, right? The
okay.
secret files. Let me make that even more weird and magical. Let's say you could write those files.
Okay.
Right? What would you put if I give you one 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, or as the Europeans say, one A4 paper?
Yeah,
right?
One A4 paper.
To 12.5.
I like graph
you know,
paper.
Normal margins.
Go ahead.
On a computer.
And I'll write with a Lamy pen.
No, writing with on a computer.
We're on email.
Word processing program. What would you write that would be so devastating? What is there's no kind of barrier of decency left to break for this bizarre.
That is a very interesting point. Maybe we'll put that out there with the tweet because I would have to give that some thought because the list is long. It might.
What, he killed somebody?
Well, actually, literally, figuratively, the guy that he never, sent a tweet out to the family that was killed in his building because he's a cheap motherfucker and skirted the fire sprinkler laws.
So he skirted the fire code and killed somebody. He scammed people out of millions. He collaborated with Russia to throw an election. He had numerous affairs while his wife was, you know, pregnant or just had given birth to their baby son. He has crooked business practices going back to the Ford administration.
Oh
like,
my God.
What is there that we don't know? What is the scandal? There is no, this is very important. There is no the scandal that will break.
There's no more there anymore?
There's no, it doesn't matter how many straws you pile on the back of this camel.
Oh. What about a cement brick?
Doesn't matter how many cement bricks you pile on the back of this camel. As far as like one thing, like so no one has anything on Trump because you can't.
Well, you don't think that, you honestly don't think that this whole Stormy Daniels, if he gets deposed and lies under oath, because, you know, you've seen him at every deposition, that the guy just can't sit there and answer a question honestly.
Okay, so let's talk about Stormy Daniels, right? I missed the interview. My mother, I was overseas.
Okay.
I was all waiting to see the interview. But
it was a little anticlimactic, but I have to tell you, the one thing that I did find, that it did for me, prove is that she's intelligent.
Yeah.
She can, you know, formulate sentences unlike this schmuck in the White House. Like, right, she can make a point.
We shouldn't make stereotypes people because they act in adult films.
Correct.
You know, people make career choices. People have make decisions, and we should be respectful of everybody.
And she's not hurting anybody. It's not, I mean, she's not committing. She is, unlike other people, are not committing any crimes. But okay, so go ahead.
So what do we think we know here? Well, we know they had an affair, right?
Right.
There's no accounting for taste on Stormy Daniels.
Okay.
Right? We know that...
She felt bad. Let's just get... First of all, the one thing that she did manage to say in so many words or less is that it was definitely a pity fuck. She felt like she put herself... She did not claim, like, the whole Me Too movement. She made it very clear. Right. She's like, I am not one of those people. I will not diminish their movement. I was stuck in... I put myself in a position and felt that that was my only way out, which also could have been walking out the door.
Right. But anyway, so we know they had this brief, whatever you want to call it, liaison, right?
Yeah, good.
We know that there was an NDA...
Everything sounds better in French.
...that was not fully executed, may or may not stand up in court, right? And we know that... The Trump world has bullied her by threatening what would be really likely called a frivolous lawsuit, by likely physically someone around that Trump universe and around Michael Cohen actually threatening her.
Right? Correct. Which they do, and they do have a composite sketch,
right.
Which I am foaming at the mouth to see.
And we do know that whatever monies were transferred were done through... we're probably not the right buckets of money from which to be doing that. In other words, you're not allowed to use campaign funds to pay off.
Right, if it was that, because it sure as shit wasn't a lien on his
house.
Right,
we very well may have been, right? So what else is it that Donald Trump would reveal? Like, what comes out in that deposition that, I mean, what's, you know, if you start, it's like, if you...
I don't know, maybe it's the lies that the coal miners need to see. I don't know, it's not, he doesn't have to prove it to us.
If you get on the subway without any clothes on, right? You can't strip yourself, you can't embarrass yourself by taking clothes off in the middle of the subway car.
Okay, good analogy.
Just imagine that with Donald Trump.
But I'm saying, like, I think the point is that this is not for us. I think anybody else that has, like, half a functioning brain cell can see all of these things. There's got to be a way to prove to all these knucklehead, coal mining, pissed off white housewives.
But the 35% who supports Trump, they know this also. There's not like there's a secret cabal in New York, San Francisco, and L.A., that tells you about Trump's personal shortcomings. It's out there.
The secret society?
Actually, of cosmopolitan elites. And globalists.
The Jews.
Right. I mean, everyone knows.
Well, maybe not. Three parentheses. All right, so I don't know. I don't know where exactly to place my faith and what's going to make all of this shit go away. But I do believe that at some point... If now the threats are coming out that he's going to fire Rosenstein and then fire Cohen and then move Pruitt and his soundproof phone booth and all 80 of his security staff.
One point I make on the firing of Mueller and Rosenstein. Whenever any Republican, or Rosenstein, whenever any Republican says if this happens, it's going to be bad, ignore that. Ignore that. If he fires Mueller on a Tuesday.
I was just going to say, that's what they're all saying. Like, right. This would
Today's
be the
Wednesday
beginning
morning.
Of the end.
It is Wednesday morning, right? Right? Is it Wednesday?
It is. It's still, and it's still infrastructure week.
It's infrastructure week. If he fires Mueller at 10 a.m. this morning.
Okay.
By noon Thursday, the Republicans are apologizing for it and explaining how Mueller overstepped his bounds and it had to happen and maybe there was something there, but he wasn't going about it the right way. By Friday noon, the Democrats have moved on and they're saying, well, it's not the time for impeachment, which it isn't because you don't know the votes. It is.
But what is the trail that Mueller leaves behind? Like, Comey had his, meeting.
Then Robert Mueller has... I mean, I don't know what he's legally bound to.
This Boente guy apparently has now handwritten notes.
But they then put in their own special prosecutor who dismisses the thing, right? I mean, that's what's going to happen. And we just have to recognize that this is just another structure. Remember during the campaign when they were saying, oh, this is the thing that will end Trump's campaign and it never did? This is the latest.
So then basically we're fucked because then basically Trump is literally above... the law, and there are no more checks and balance. What's left to check and balance?
That's right. Well, we don't know that he's going to fire Mueller, right? We don't know.
Well, no, because I mean, apparently someone was there to shut it down when he wanted to do that in December.
Right. The check and balance here is that there are some people around him who just honestly think it's just not who are still only halfway in on Donald Trump, right? Because there are people. I mean, if you're Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, right? You're supporting Trump. Why? One, because you support him so far, you can't.
Yeah, you're just
face,
fucked.
Right?
Yeah, you're just.
But it
done.
Means that if his popular support diminishes, you can do that. And two, because you like the tax policy and you like the right wing policies on social issues and all of that. But you don't necessarily like. You're not very comfortable necessarily with just him looting the bloody White House, right? And using the White House to loot the world.
Right.
So the reservoirs of support for Trump vary. They're not all that deep, but you have to, but they're deep enough. So you've got to make it so that it becomes sufficiently unappealing for these guys.
So what's where are we on the hope meter? Are we like above 50%, below 50%?
Well,
are we
I think that in terms of him finishing his term in office, I would say that's above 50% likelihood.
Oh, God.
In terms of America restoring a meaningful democracy by 2030, I would say above 50%.
2030?
2030, yeah. It takes time.
Who's got time for that shit?
All right.
2030? All right, Lincoln, to be continued. 2030? It's like 20 years away. I got no time for that. That's a wrap. Okay, so fuck this 2030 shit. I'm not waiting until 2030 for this to be over and for this to be better, because there is not enough Ben and Jerry's on the fucking planet to take care of my emotional needs during this nightmare that we're living through until 2030. So no, I think it's going to end way sooner than 2030, and then we will be able to repair all of the damage that was done. That being said, I thought it was very interesting, and I'm still really trying to think about Lincoln's question. If you could write, and I guess I'll pose it to everybody listening, all five people, if you could write one, if you could write down one thing that would be so devastating to end this ridiculous, illegitimate, insane presidency, what would it be? And I don't know what my statement would be, because he does, it's a good point. What barrier of decency is left to break? What could this racist, ridiculous, insane, mentally unfit, selfish, bullying, womanizing, fucking total shithole do that would now be the straw that broke the back of this ridiculous administration? And I think that's a really good question, because basically all of the sexual assault and all of the sexual abuse alleged has really been forgotten about for the most part, except for the Stormy Daniels thing, because Michael Avenatti is one pit bull of a fucking attorney and won't let it go. And now Stormy Daniels is cooperating with the feds, and every fucking body that is not related to Donald Trump is cooperating, or will be soon cooperating with the feds to keep their fucking ass out of prison, because no one is going to jail for this guy. The bottom line, I will be amazed if Michael Cohen is that fucking stupid and hard-headed and that much of a lughead that he thinks for 1 second that Donald Trump has an ounce of fucking loyalty in his little tiny pinky, that he would do anything for anyone other than himself. So I don't even think Michael Cohen is going to take the proverbial bullet. I'll take a bullet for Trump. Yo, Johnny Goomba, you ain't taking shit from anybody. I mean, Trump wouldn't, you are under the bus. Trump basically threw your ass under the bus when he made that comment on the plane. He's so dumb. Trump, he doesn't think before he speaks. He doesn't think before he tweets, or whoever tweets for him. That little Nazi, Stephen Miller, tweeting from the closet. He also, too, has not been anywhere to be seen. So it's really interesting who is seen when. And unfortunately, the only person that we do have to look at every day is cement head Sarah fucking Sanders, who I don't know how you, like, lay your head on the fucking pillow, like, knowing that you just stand up there and literally lie your ass off to the American public and basically to the world every single day of your life. But then again, your dad is the disgusting Mike Huckabee, and your brother, like, kills dogs and gets away with it. So the DNA in that family is disgusting. That being said, I don't know what I don't know what I would write. I don't know. I'm really trying to think of what would be the one thing that you could put on a piece of paper that would break the straw. And I think it's hard, but infanticide, like, if he, God forbid, a million times, like, admitted to killing a kid, or I don't know. The guy literally admittedly and openly, like, cops feels on his daughter. It's this on national television. He did it on the stage at the national convention. It's disgusting. He's went on Howard Stern and talked about if she wasn't his daughter, he would want to date her, and he bangs women that look like his daughter. So, I mean, basically that whole incestuous shit also is off the table, because that too has been the evangelical hypocrite community has given him like 8,000 mulligans for shit like that. So you can't even take the incestuous pedophile route, because he's also supported a fucking pedophile in Roy Moore. So there's that. And people have forgotten about that. And, you know, which is why you need to keep, people need to keep bringing, not let this stuff die, because then it becomes just something else. Like Madeleine Albright said, it's you pluck the chicken one feather at a time and nobody notices. And she said that in relation to Mussolini and I don't know, go read her book, Fascism. I saw it this morning on Morning Joe. And it was a very interesting analogy as to normalizing this type of insane behavior. Because if you pluck a chicken and you take all the feathers out at one time, you can see the insanity. But if you slowly pluck one feather at a time, you kind of don't pay as much attention. And we really need to wake the fuck up and pay fucking attention, because this is a absolute insane time that we're living in right now. So I don't know what I would write. I don't know what I would write on that paper if they found it in Michael Cohen's files that would bring this presidency down. If you have any ideas, I would love to hear them, because I'll come back. I'll reach out to Link and I'll tag him in the tweet for the podcast and see if he's come up with anything. That being said, I mean, we are where we are, and we just have to keep our eyes open, stay vigilant, and keep resisting and not getting complacent and not normalizing all of this not normal fucking behavior. Because it's scary and it's unfortunate and it's not helping anybody. And you know what? Not one motherfucking coal mine has opened yet. I think it's been infrastructure week for like 464 weeks. And I don't think he's built a fucking thing. Mexico's not paying for the wall. They're not building a new wall. They're repairing the wall that Obama had started to build. He's such a fucking liar. He just lies about everything. And I just don't understand. Like, a coal miner's never met a liar in his life. Every one of these motherfuckers got conned. Like, big time con. Like, you're dumb as dirt con. Like, he rolled over all of you. All of you salt of the earth people that are supposed to have all the street smarts and all the common sense and roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty. All you motherfuckers got played. I don't know. You're gonna blame the liberals in New York and California because we know con men? They're everywhere. Fuck out of here. It's a joke. This whole thing is a joke, but it's not funny. I mean, the guy still has, he literally, someone died in one of his buildings on Fifth Avenue, mother of all fucking ironies. When he says, I can go out and shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and I wouldn't lose a voter, this motherfucker, because he skirted the fire sprinkler coding laws in New York City because he's cheap as fuck, this guy fucking died. Not only that, supposedly it's heard that he referred to this guy as a crazy Jew. So, and he still hasn't tweeted anything about sending any regards to the guy's family. But yet he has the Alabama Crimson Tide football team over to the White House. He's just a fucking zero priorities. This guy has zero concept of priorities, morals, values, nothing. Nothing. I mean, if you've known Donald, you know that forever. I mean, he's never changed. But all these people that are seeing him for the first time or don't know his history here in New York or haven't read, you know, The Post, The Daily News, The Inquirer, all this bullshit about how the guy's lived his fucking miserable, grifting, scamming, cheating, lying life. Well, now you know. So now people have to wake the fuck up and realize that this guy gives zero fucks about anybody but himself. And I don't know, whoever he's indebted to over in Russia, wherever. I mean, at this point, is a pee-pee tape even going to matter? Honestly, I don't know. I'm asking. Maybe that'll be the next question I ask Lincoln. I don't, who knows? All I know is that it's good to have Lincoln back. If you want more information about Lincoln's background and all of his degrees and doctorates and MBAs and where he got all of his smarts other than the streets, running the streets of San Francisco and New York as a hoodlum, go to his website, lincolnmitchell.com. You could read his books about baseball. He's obsessed. You could follow him on Instagram. You could follow him on Twitter, at Lincoln Mitchell. But check out his website. You can get all the background information and where he travels and what he does over there in Georgia and Amman and, you know, the Middle East and Ukraine and all that shit. So go check out his website. Go buy his books. Go follow him on Twitter. you know, shoot the shit with him. He's super smart. He's super funny. And he's just an all-around good menschy guy. And you can subscribe to the podcast. Now, there's been some problems with the podcast on the Apple Podcast app. So if you're having problems listening on the Apple Podcast app, just download Stitcher. It's another app on your phone with the 7,000 that you already have. Use the same password. It doesn't even matter. But you can listen. There's been no problems listening to the episodes on Stitcher. It's also free. You can subscribe there and listen. You can also go to my Squarespace page, but it's way easier just to go to Stitcher and search for Ranting with Randy and subscribe to the podcast. It's free. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Doodleheads, DoodleHedz. I still haven't bought an espresso machine. Don't even fucking ask. I don't know. It's Wednesday. The weekend's supposed to be beautiful. I'll be back out on the Art Hustle. If you're in Harlem, swing by 110th Street and Cathedral Parkway. There won't be any subway stop running there because the MTA has shut that shit down for the next 6 months. So you're going to have to walk from 103rd or 116th Street on the BC line, or you could take the 1 to 110th Street, or you can just take a fucking Uber or a Via, or you can get on a city bike, or you can just fucking walk. Or take the bus. The M10 stops right there, the M4. There's a million ways to get there. It's the Harlem Farmers Market. We'll be hanging out from like 9-ish till like whenever I have to be because there's no bathroom. So I usually have to pack up and then schlep home and back up 5 flights just to use the bathroom. And I'll be hustling my art and all my photographs that I take on Instagram. So you can come by and support local artists. You can support the local farmers at the farmers market. The fish guy is great. The pickle guy is thebomb.com. And there's bread and Three Pigs produce and all that good stuff. And there's a park bench with me sitting on it. And usually I only eat sugar rolls by to hang out. My dog might be there if the weather's good. So stroll by. That's where you can find me on Saturdays when the weather's nice. Because the hustle doesn't stop. The grind don't stop. Support living artists. That's the last thing I'm going to say. We do what we got to do. We grind it on out. As always, thanks for listening. This one was a long one. I'll keep it. I'm going to wrap it up because I don't want to like ramble on for like an hour and then people be like, I can't listen to you for an hour because my commute's not that long and I'm not going to come back and listen to it on my way home. Okay, so I'm wrapping it up. We had a lot of shit to talk about. I'll tweet it all out. Hit me back if you have any ideas, if you have anything you want to rant about, if you have anything you want to talk about. If you want to talk about murders, we could talk about murders. We could talk about real crime, true crime. We could talk about documentaries. Oh man. Okay. Maybe the next one we'll talk about is Icarus. I watched the Icarus documentary. You should watch that. I just watched a documentary on this, the world champion chess player, which is insane. Magnus or Mangus or whatever the guy's name is. I can't even remember his name. This kid is like, remembers 700 million chess moves like in his brain. Anyway, they're all on Netflix. Go check them out. They're really good. I'm going to leave it at that. That's really enough rambling bullshit information, that I can spit out right now. So, as always, thank you for listening. We'll be back with another podcast. I have something, I always have something to rant about. And thank you, as always, for listening. Peace and hair grease.